Welcome to Crypto Nights, where we help you finally make sense of the trending world of cryptocurrencies. So gather your virtual piggy bank and let's get started.
Hi, Jen. How are you?
I'm very good. How are you? Thank you for having me on today.
Thank you for joining us. Thank you for joining Crypto Nights. And Jen, I wanted to start off with a question about you. Can you give us a brief intro to Jen Grayson?
Yes. So I am the CEO of Nareel and powered by Nareel. Those are a new predictive AI supercomputer project that's been around for a while. My background is that I come from the business side. I ran a multi-million dollar life insurance company and then most recently ran a publishing company. And so my specialty really is in taking intellectual property and basically turning ideas into money. And once I met Will and got involved in this project, was just very excited about what I could bring to it and how we could bring it to the world.
Well, that sounds very exciting. So without any further ado, let's jump right in. I've been reading up on Nareel. I think I know bits and pieces, but it'll be good to hear straight from you. Can you please tell us about Nareel, how it came about and when you joined in and what is it all about?
Originally, the founder and our current chief technical officer, Will Baum, really looked at Bitcoin and the usage and was really struggling with the energy consumption and that all of that hash was not going toward anything productive. He's very passionate about AI and realized that by using all of that compute, he could put that toward AI. And anytime you have an AI problem, the more compute you can put to it, the faster and better it goes. And so as I started looking at what he had compiled just for the white paper, I really got passionate about wanting to bring this to the world. And so I was able to bring on my background, my business background, my writing ability, and really kind of be the author of Nareel and really start shaping the message and the story. And so from there, it's just kind of grown and our community's grown. So we're really excited about what's next.
How did you guys, it's a fantastic name, by the way. How did you guys come up with the name Nareel and what is it supposed to mean?
So I don't know the complete etymology of that name. So great job stumping me right off the bat with the super question. I know that because there are neural networks involved in AI, it was part of that. And one of Will's original advisors, and I think I'm going to get it wrong, but I think it was Theron, was the one who came up with the name, and they all loved it and stuck with it. Jordan came up with the current logo, and it's all based off of the mathematics that are repeating in nature. And so that was why how they kind of took those and brought them all together.
Wow. So now can we jump into what is the functionality? What is the vision? What is it? What is Nareel trying to accomplish?
The simplest answer is that we are creating a limitless ability to forecast the future. Right now, data science is incredibly limited, both in the restrictions on the data that they're allowed to use and the cost of that compute. And so by being able to harness blockchain and bring all of that compute together, we are creating almost a new protocol for data science where they can leverage all of that compute. And then we can then offer also their predictions to everyday users that don't have the ability to find or hire a complete data scientist. And so we're really kind of bringing that ability for prediction kind of to everyone as well as to big corporations in a much cheaper manner than what it's available now.
So let's to ground this, Jen, can you walk me through a use case or an example at a ground level? Let's imagine a user that would potentially use your system. Who would they be and how would they use it, just as a story or an example?
Okay, well, our very first use case that we are putting together is as a trading bot. And so in 2009, we'll kind of back up a little bit. In 2009, Netflix put together a $1 million prize to see who could come up with the best algorithm. And the winner ended up being an ensemble. And Nereal is basically creating ensembles for any use case, because we have all of these predictors that are building on top of each other. And so it's that kind of scenario that Netflix spent $1 million to be right once. And if they'd have had Nereal back then, they could have been right forever. And so in the same way that Netflix predicts what you're going to use going forward, what you want to watch, we can then create that scenario for every client, every customer. Whether it's Noah, who's currently predicting hurricanes, or Lyft, who wants to be able to predict where they need drivers on a Tuesday night in Salt Lake City.
Wow. So was it just that you picked enterprises as users, or can individuals be users of your system?
Individuals can absolutely be users of the system, especially on a social metric. So right now there are a lot of things that people are really, really passionate about, and they have no way to gather the data. If we look at, right now climate change is a big issue for a lot of people. They could essentially put together a Kickstarter that if they gathered enough people that were interested in predicting what are some of the biggest contributing factors to climate change, and we had enough crowd participation, enough of the crowd wanted to put their tokens toward having that predicted, they would essentially end up paying the predictors to get back that sort of data. And so anyone can use it, whether as long as someone has access to the live data stream. But also we have the use of both oracles and users. And so even if you don't have access to the live data stream, you could still be a user and could still have access to certain predictions that are going to be logged on the blockchain.
Okay. I think now is a good time to transition. Can you tell us a little bit about your community? Seems to be people who have a need. Like, for example, I might want to predict whether this ICO will do well, for example, right?
Yes.
And I'm
yes.
thinking of doing a pre-token sale in Nereal, and hey, Oracle, can you tell me if this is a good idea? And then it comes back and says 95% chance of succeeding, and recommend X percent of your portfolio to be invested in this. So something along those lines, I'm imagining. So I'm a user, then there are contributors. Apparently I'm proposing a project and it is getting funded by tokens. And then there are all these people that are contributing resources, whether it is computing or software or the open source software that you're the AI engines that will, and then there is a data stream. So there are various components that seem to be magically coming together. Obviously, if some of these are missing, it may not quite go forward. These seem to be prerequisite elements. So when these 3-4 elements come together, presumably based on the availability and accuracy of data, it churns out answers. Am I getting this kind of right?
Yes. So those are all elements to the community, which is another reason why our community has grown a little bit slower than some of the other ICOs that are out there, because we really are focused on building a quality community that has a lot of interest in the project, understands it, wants to use it, and not necessarily that have an AI or data science background, because we really want to build out all of those components, because there are a lot of them. Not only do we need a large community with the compute power, but we also need the data streams, and those are all going to be paying components of the network. And so as you are granting access to your data, you're getting paid for that. As you are creating predictions, you're getting paid for that. As you are asking for different data sets and different predictions. You're getting paid for all of those components. So there are a lot of pieces to this, and it's the biggest reason why we're using blockchain to do it, why we're using a utility token to do it, because there are so many pieces to this that blockchain really is the only way to do this and make it successful on the scale that it needs to happen.
So let me understand that. So who is contributing? If we are paying all these people to, you know, to come up with the resources, the software, the hardware, the compute functionality, and maybe even asking the question is a contribution. If somebody's asking a good question, do they receive tokens as well?
They would, so that it would depend on whether or not they have access to the live data stream, and we're about to get past my technical knowledge of how the okay. parts of it work.
Okay.
But they, it depends on where they would sit inside the ecosystem. And that would go back to the crowdfunding side of if they can ask the question and gather enough interest from the community, that's how that one would get handled and generated, and that they would then get to be a participant in it.
So, and then there is who pays for this is a set of people you call as contributors?
Well, you'd have all of your token holders. And so those, all of those are going to be, they'd be able to vote using their tokens.
And then those voted tokens are things that can be used to solve this problem? This AI cost?
Because that would end up paying the predictors. So, and the AI would also need to, like if we needed additional data streams, so those would be additional pieces in it as well.
So when all of that happens, so you have five different predictors, which of the five predictors gets paid? How do you pick the winner?
That's where it gets really technical. I don't know exactly how the winning predictor gets paid out. I just know that the winning predictor does get paid out, like that's, and those other four predictors would not. So there is a gamification of
so the one winner idea.
Yes. Okay. In that specific prediction. Yes, one winner, one payout.
Well, one easy way is I'll just wait for the event to happen and see if who was right or closest to the truth and get paid out. I can imagine how a one winner payout happens. It could happen after the fact. I don't know if this is a fair question. How does Nouriel compare itself to Augur, or does it at all?
So Augur is using Wisdom of the Crowd.
Yeah.
And so that is a little bit different. One of the things that we love about blockchain and all of the AI blockchain projects that are coming to the space is that Nouriel doesn't compete with any of them. It enhances all of them. Because Nouriel is building blockchain that's optimized for AI. And while Augur is Wisdom of the Crowd, so they're not using AI, they're just using Wisdom of the Crowd. And I think, and I don't know this for certain, but I think Augur is event-based, right? Like yours, specifically saying, okay, so that is a huge difference. Ours won't be event-based because we're using live data streams. And so that that prediction is on kind of almost a rolling data stream and rolling predictions, because the data is always live. We're gonna use static data to train the AI. But you would use, because it's live data streams, it's not event-based. And that is where Augur is different.
Okay. So can we now talk about your blockchain-based ICO? By the way, you've been at it for now, how many years now? 3 years, 4 years?
So 4 years. So Nouriel is the longest running AI project. There were several others that were started at the same time. Will doesn't know why for sure the other ones aren't still around, but this one is the longest running one that's been around since 2014. And they started talking about it in 2013. And so Will won the Bitcoin hackathon, the Texas Bitcoin hackathon in 2012, I think. I can't remember when he won that. And at that time, if he could get a team together, the prize for that was that he would get $500,000 to build out Nareal. But this was back when ICOs weren't every other, you didn't have seven every other day. And so it was a lot more difficult. And so the other part of that that was really difficult is Will is an amazing coder. He's brilliant. He's a brilliant architect, but the business side of it is really difficult. And so getting that team put together back then was hard. And so he didn't move the project all the way forward at that time, which is great for me because now I get to be involved in the ICO. And I love it. And I love the excitement now that that is in the ICO space and what it looks like. And it's just, it's amazing what blockchain has done since that time. And there are even newer blockchains out that are better that we can build on in that. And so, yes, we are now moving forward into our pre-sale and public sale that are coming up right now. We have those slated for pre-sale is April 5th. Public sale is happening April 20th. So we're going through right now, we're finalizing everything to do KYC and we have a new website coming that we're hoping to release in the next couple of weeks, days, wow, hopefully wow. soon.
Out of the press. Yes. I'm so excited yes. to talk to you today because
I know
a few weeks away, and I definitely wish you all the best from all of us at Kryptonites.
Yes, thank you.
So you're based out of the US then?
We are. We have the foundation will be set up in the Caribbean. We have an Antiguan attorney right now that's working on all of that. Antigua is going through some phenomenal government changes, which has kind of tied up the attorney general down there who is supposed to be approving the foundation. We, unlike other ICOs, really wanted to have the foundation in place before the token sale happens. I know that's not standard, and we kind of run by the rule that we don't do everything the way everyone else has done it. We've worked really hard to be a leader in the space and to create a lot of best practices. One of those is that we really feel like foundations should be in place prior to the token sale happening, which is why we've continued to push back our token sale, because for one reason or another, internally, there's been some best practice that we've wanted to have in place. And so we just kind of really continue to ensure that we're doing everything in the best possible way so that we really can kind of be the poster child for how these token generation events happen.
Which means are these tokens, will Americans be able to buy these tokens?
We are closing the sale. We're closing the public sale to the US. We right now are allowing accredited investors to participate, but we are closing the public sale to the US.
So the private sale is open to accredited investors in the US?
That's correct, yes.
Okay, that makes sense. That's the reason I asked that question. So that's wonderful. Can you give us other details like how much are you planning to raise, if you know those answers, and how do you plan to use the funds? What are they slated for, etc.?
Yes. And I have a couple of graphs that we're finalizing that'll be available on the new website when it gets released that kind of lay these out in a simple, I hope, simple way to view them. We looked at a couple of events that happened in the ICO landscape where community members were being shut out because of caps. And whales were coming in and buying up huge, massive amounts of the token. And we really, because we need a large community, we wanted to create a token sale that really ensured that everyone would be able to participate. In doing that, what we've done is we've pulled our hard cap. And so there will never be more than 1 billion tokens. And so we have the 1 billion tokens minus what's been allocated for the foundation, which is currently 10%. Will and I have recently been talking about lowering that to 8%. And then there's the tokens that were already allocated in the for early contributors and the presale, which was 30,000 tokens, but that then there's a 400 time conversion that happens with those. So the public sale will have 888 million tokens available.
Wonderful. Well, you have clearly thought through this extremely well. That's amazing.
We've tried. Our token evolution has gone through a lot of pieces, and what we really wanted to do, and every evolution of it really has been about how do we ensure that the community is taken care of in the best possible way. We really don't necessarily want a community of investors. We want a community of users. We want a community of data scientists. The other thing that we're doing that we've had a lot of people challenge us on is we're locking the tokens until release. So those tokens will be locked in their wallets. And then upon release, they'll be, that is when we will apply to put them on an exchange.
So when you say release, that means you have been approved to trade on an exchange. That's what you're calling as a release?
No, our software release. So our internal release of the software at that time. And obviously we can't guarantee that we're going to be picked up by an exchange. There's a very good likelihood that we would be, but we don't want to guarantee that, because goodness, who knows between now and then what exchanges are going to look for. But we will do everything we possibly can internally to ensure that we get on an exchange.
So the tokens are locked until the software is released, because the software has to be released before you can use the tokens.
Correct. Yes.
So you are truly making sure this is an utility token. And that's also reflected in your interest in users as a community, yes, not investors. And yes. So are you capping the amount of tokens each user can buy?
We are not, but there are going to be buckets released every hour that will have a set amount of tokens in it. And so the way the token sale is going to be constructed is that there is a likelihood that if someone comes in to purchase a large quantity of tokens and their trade is first, they will only get a portion of that bucket. And then the remaining portion of their trade will fall to the other ones that are currently being requested. And there will be a price increase every hour. And so, and the token sale is going to last for an entire month. And so there will be a very deliberate construct in how the tokens are sold and allocated.
Okay. All right, makes a lot of sense. So that means you are not imposing a hard rule, but if I come in and I want to buy X amount of tokens, I might get 1/10 of the X allocated, and then 0.9 of X will go back into the end of the queue. And let's see what happens the second time. I might go back again. So you're making sure that everybody else, I'm not hogging a huge part, that I'm getting a small piece, and then I go back to the line. If there's not too many other people, I might get some more. So
yes,
you're kind of chopping it up and saying, okay, we cannot guarantee that you'll get all of it allocated, but good luck to you. Keep trying.
Yes, absolutely. Okay. Yes.
So I think I got that. So I think we understood the idea, the value proposition, and where you are and your tokens that you're raising. And so can you tell us your software? Because that seems to be an important one for people to understand. When do you plan to... I'm a software guy, so I know that.
Okay.
That's why I'm using the word plan very cautiously.
Yes.
When are you planning to release your software? Approximately, what is the range of the time?
So the first release is scheduled in 2020, and I think it's May of 2020. And we have a full roadmap that lays out all of the minimum usable version and then both of the MVPs. And so those each come about every 9 months. And so obviously as a software guy, you know that you hope that you're always in development. That's when you know your project is done and it's when it doesn't need any more development. So we will be bringing on also users for use cases during the course of that 2 years so that we can run a test net so that we can build that out, and we'll definitely want additional community involvement in that so that we can continue to build out the software as we go. So,
and what would be your average? I know that your token price varies throughout the sale for a month. What is the average token sale, token price, sorry?
So it starts at 7 cents, okay, is the first bucket. And then it increases to the final price, I think, and I'm doing this by memory, I think the final price is 41 cents.
Okay.
And so I think the mean ends up being like 23 or 27 cents, I think.
And how many tokens are sold per bucket?
I want to say it's 77,000. I should have had that up and available, but it is available on our website. One thing that Will was adamant about, and it took me a minute to kind of make the switch over from corporate America, where I'm used to, is we have complete and utter transparency. And so all of our documentation, with exception of a few of our legal documents, are available on our Google Drive, including our token evaluation sheet. So we are as open source as they come, all the way down to all of our documentation. It's all out there. We really want our community to go through it and to give us feedback and to go through everything we have with the finest tooth comb. And I mean, this really is a community project. This has never been Will's project, even though we all really look to him as the founder and chief architect, but he has always pushed back on, this is a community project, and that means all of this gets to be open for everyone to be able to contribute to on every level.
This is very exciting to me, because there's so many ways people can use it. I'm thinking there'll be so many exciting use cases that'll come out of people actually using your software and technology. It's really not just software. So ecosystem, really. And so you're kind of expecting people to be locked in for 2 years. That means you're expecting people who really understand and believe, yes, in your vision to be the ones that are onboarded. And so those 2 years or whatever that time frame is, 1.5 to 2 years, you'll be giving regular updates to your community, keeping, yes, them engaged through the MVP releases. It's not that it's going to be total silence for 2 years and something comes out, but it'll be gradual pieces that are rolled out and tested, you know, and probably refined. So there'll be a series of elements that are released along the way, modules, and then the final quote unquote usable first version will be in 2020. Did I get that right?
Yes, correct. And we really, I mean, and this has been one of the funnest parts about building out our community, is it's a genuine community. I mean, these are people that we're engaging with every day. And I just cannot foresee a scenario where we would go silent and not communicate with them. We know communication is key, and I've seen, you know, I mean, I've only been in the crypto community since July. But I've embraced the philosophies wholeheartedly, and I watch a lot of the communities out there, and I want ours to be the best one. I want ours to be one where we talk all the time and we communicate all the time. And I see that anytime there are issues, for me, when I look at why it went wrong, it usually is because of lack of communication. And you know, Ethereum did such a great job of being kind of the example of, okay, we're not going to make our deadline. This is why, this is what we think is going to happen. And this is when we think we're going to be able to get back to you guys next. And so there was just that ongoing communication. And I think that's why their community stuck with them as well as they did, because they were so upfront about communicating. And, you know, we ask for so much feedback that I think that also is going to be the ongoing communication that we're going to see with our community is, hey, we're stuck on this spot. What do you guys think about this? This is what we're working on this way. And so, yes, there will definitely not be dead air from us for, I think, even a very limited amount of time, let alone 2 years. So,
which is very exciting, because for Crypto Nights, we have several guest speakers that come back periodically. So I might actually reach out to you on a quarterly basis.
Yes. Oh my gosh. We would love that. I would love that. I would personally love that. And I know the whole team would love that. Yes.
And our audience would love that. Our audience is the kind that keeps following with speakers, not just the topic. So there are several speakers that we have that have come back and have been with us for several episodes. Mohit Mamoria is one of them. Paul Walsh is another who's running an ICO MetaCert. So for the phishing links and Slack groups and so on and so forth. So we have had several people do multiple podcasts with us. And I'm liking your story so much that I'm hoping that we will have you back, maybe quarterly.
Yes. Yes.
And it'll be great.
That would be fantastic. That would be fantastic.
Jen, you have been really forthcoming and true to the open source spirit. But let me ask you this. Are there questions that I should have asked that I did not? Are there other important things our audience need to know about Nouriel?
One of the biggest ones, and this is one of my favorite parts about Nouriel, is when someone catches the vision of how they would use it in their own life. And so we really try to talk about all the ways that Nouriel is usable. For me, the medical industry is kind of my passion. I have a meeting this afternoon actually with one of the data sets that we're hoping to use. They gather cancer data. And so one of the things that we've really talked about, because it's impacted both Will and I, is the medical industry, and that we all have cellular phones, most of us. And that has become such an amazing source of live data. And so we have people that are using Fitbits, we have people that are walking around with their phones, and I really do believe that Nouriel has the, yes, see, exactly, we're all using them. And so I really think that Nouriel is going to be able to take that data and get to the point that it is predicting heart attacks, and it's monitoring your levels of cholesterol, and why aren't you eating a salad today instead of a burger, and you're getting continual notifications of how you're living your day, and how choices you make are impacting things that you want predicted. I mean, I definitely want to know what I'm doing throughout my day, and how it's impacting the longevity of my life, because I want to be around for a really long time. And so those are kind of some of the other use cases that we didn't get to talk about, just kind of the big medical ones that we really foresee Nouriel being able to impact and shift and help.
That is fantastic. Thank you very much for sharing that. Thank you for coming to our podcast.
Yes, thank you for having me.
Yeah. Yes. We wish you the very best from all of Crypto Nights, because you have a phenomenal vision, and it's a grand plan, and we wish you the very best in your journey.
Thank you very much. And I look forward to getting to come back again and getting to talk to your audience. This was great today. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Jen.
Thanks for listening to the Crypto Nights. Never miss an episode. Subscribe now at www.cryptonights.io.